Better on Draft podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan.
That's Dan's favorite song.
And Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 19
guys,
of
right?
the Better on Draft podcast. I believe Nick and Rob came in smoking something funky.
They're high, they're high right now.
Yeah. Was the same
Wait. I was laughing on mute. That was me. That was all Nick.
It was all Nick. Nick's definitely got a loud laugh.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Yeah, we're at episode 19 of the world-known Better on Draft podcast.
Ooh,
that's
yeah.
right.
It really is.
Cheers to Ireland.
Ireland, Netherlands,
yeah.
a few other countries that listen to us. We appreciate you all joining us every Friday night or whenever you do listen to our show.
Is it like Saturday over there?
It'd be Saturday
well,
by now.
It'd be
it's five,
it
five hours ahead.
Yeah,
it's seven
Ireland,
hours.
6 hours, Netherlands.
Oh, Ireland.
Yeah.
Six. All right. So happy Saturday morning to them if you're out late.
No, they're at the bar still. No, I'm sorry. They're at the pub.
No, those would be closed right now. We're talking midnight in Ireland.
They close at midnight?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, that's something.
12:30. Yeah.
Man.
So my name is Ken. I am one of the hosts. We have Dan right next to me. Dan,
yeah,
how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. What are you drinking?
Well, I got a few things.
You got a few things
that are open.
Let's talk about the first. Just one thing right now.
We got the blueberry pancake milkshake stout. Really good.
Oh, yeah. From where?
Rochester Mills. I had to think about it.
Yeah, to think
so
about it.
So what I hijacked that you said, I hijacked when you told me to take one.
I still say you hijacked. You strong-armed me.
For we fought in the parking lot, and then I, ran off.
To a draw. We fought to a draw. We got Nick. Nick, what's going on?
What's going on?
What are you drinking over there?
I got a cup of the pancake stout as well. I got an Onsite Ales. I want my HTV. Imperial C. I know. You know, it's funny because it actually has the guy from the Dire Straits.
Dire Straits video.
Lord. Imperial Citra Pale Ale.
What do you think of it?
First sip was wasn't too impressed, but as I was drinking, I was like, yeah, it's not that bad.
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, that's always at that first sip, you don't know what you're about to expect.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and that was definitely one of those times.
You know, like when someone gives me a chili beer, and I'm like, oh, I don't expect you to chili beer. I'm not sure.
Or a ghost pepper beer.
Ghost pepper beer.
What is this? Oh, it's habanero sculpin. God darn it.
Rob, what's going on? What are you drinking?
Just another day. I'm sitting here with also with the Rochester Mills blueberry pancake milkshake stout.
You're behind the game with only one beer in front of you.
I know. I've got a Oddside Ales Mocha Mutt that I'm kind of sitting on right now, letting it chill for a little bit. I'm going to break that out.
You're letting it get cold?
Oh, you gotta like get it a little bit. You can't be like
a little bit.
A little less than room temperature.
I thought room temp was good, but I like it a little bit more colder when I'm drinking my.
Guess I'm just weird. I like my beer at room temperature.
Well, I like the Trooper at room temp, but I didn't. You know, I don't think the Mocha Mutt was meant to be really room temp. Like a little bit colder than room temp is definitely going to be.
If it's yellow, I'll drink it cold. If it's anything else,
you have to.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like eating Thin Mints. I prefer to eat Thin Mints from the freezer. So.
Okay.
You know, you're drinking, you know, Natty Ice from the red Solo cups because you're destroying a beer pong and you want them to hit it because it's getting so warm and you're like, oh my gosh. So
just
you're drinking. We got Bob, repeat offender now, coming on for
number two.
How you doing over there?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
What are you drinking?
I've got the Rochester Mills Newton's Alchemy Double IPA.
Very good one.
Yeah,
it's good so far. I'll take a couple more sips. I just spit some gum out, so I'll give it a more. I gotta wash the palate a little, and you know,
the best way to wash a palate is to drink beer.
I agree.
keep drinking.
Drink it faster.
We've got plenty of that over there. And we've got a silent person over here joining us who is refusing to speak, but I'm sure she'll once she gets a few drinks in her, she might open up and talk a little bit. We got Stephanie over there, correct?
Correct. Thanks for having me.
She's talking now. You tricked her.
Got it.
You want to know what I'm drinking?
What are you drinking?
The Rochester Mills IPA.
IPA, Cornerstone. Yeah.
Cornerstone.
Always good a great. One. As you good can choice. Tell, we have a lot of Rochester Mills, thanks to Eric over at Rochester Mills Brewery for allowing us to test and taste a lot of their beers over the past few weeks. We didn't get a chance to when he came over here because we were slamming a keg of hop slam.
Well, then he didn't tell us until the end. Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, by the way, guys, there's 50 beers out there.
Wait, what?
Ready for you to go. So, once again, my name is Ken. I'm drinking a little bit of Rochester Red as well as the blueberry pancake. The blueberry pancake's pretty good. Did you get a chance to try this, Bob?
No, not yet.
There's a can right there. Or is it empty?
Is it
empty?
Yeah, it is empty now.
All right, here, let's pass that over there. No, is there another one in there? I thought
I think that's just the one.
I think there's just snow days in there. So
yeah, I just saw the silver cans and...
Yeah, those are the ones where I thought I brought the blueberry pancake last week, and then I didn't. You don't taste any alcohol in there, which seems very dangerous to me for the fact that...
I taste Big Boy.
Yeah.
Exactly. How strong is that, though? Their milkshake stout isn't Starbucks. That strong, is it?
You taste Starbucks?
Yeah, this is very coffee.
Yeah, I wish I'd can that. Like,
I got to thank Robert for the metaphor of Big Boy.
Definitely. Like, growing up, always going to Big Boy on Sundays, every time. Blueberry pancakes. And just the moment this can got open, all I saw was that big ass kid holding a damn burger.
It's like you can smell it as soon as you open it.
So, the moment I opened
According to Untappd, it says it's 5.2, 5.25% ABV.
Not bad at all.
Session beer?
Remember, every beer is a session.
Every beer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then that's almost as dangerous as Ben and Jerry.
Well, yeah, the Ben and Jerry. You know, a lot of people did not like that beer
because
it doesn't taste like the name at all. I think that's fair, but I think if you take the fact that it doesn't taste like the name, I thought it tastes delicious.
Oh, it's great. I love awesome. That beer. I buy that whenever I see it most of the times, but it's a low ABV and it's good and it's cheap.
Oh yeah,
it's $8 a six pack.
And I think there's been a lot more distribution too, because I thought it was going to be a little bit more limited, but I'm still seeing it in shelves at 7-Elevens and stuff. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not really at the horn to going to buy it. But have we? Has anybody drank anything new and exciting this week? Or we've kind of
we got some that we're gonna try new. Oh yeah, we're not gonna get to it yet.
We've got Dragon's Milk Vanilla Chai, and we got the Shorts Batch 5000.
Ooh,
so that'll be definitely a big crack. That's a triple. So I'm sure we're all gonna be.
Oh Lord, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh boy, it's week one all over again. Nothing under, this is where we're going.
Nothing under 10% as always here at the Better on Draft podcast. So there's not really much to talk about this week. Nothing really new in the beer scene. I know there is a rumor that was going on in regards to Cigar City potentially being bought out by ABI, but I think that's more still on the rumor mill than anything. But I think with that kind of thing, I think when there's smoke, there's fire. So there's always something. There might have been some type of offer because, you know, you look at ABI Sab Miller. How many times has ABI tried to buy out Sab Miller before it happened last year?
Two or three times.
Oh, yeah. And it was always the same time, you know, September of the year that it happened. So this is the second time that it's happened for Cigar City. And along with, you know, Cigar City's owner has said, you know, everyone's got a price. You can pay me
enough. $1 million man owns
pretty much
Cigar City
to not
gotta get his music
exactly.
cue up his music.
But you know, there's always a price for someone to stop brewing beer, and obviously Oscar Blues did not have that price when they turned down the $1 billion buyout from Constellation, which benefited Ballast Point because
Ballast Point's price was a billion. Give me the money.
We'll take it.
But it's always interesting to see what happens in regards to what will happen for Cigar City, especially because we don't get Cigar City up here. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, you're going to get Cigar City now. And, you know, I'm still waiting for my Elysian and, you know, new 10 barrel. And
wasn't Cigar City supposed to?
I don't know about Cigar City if they were supposed to.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm just.
That might be something I can ask Matt over at Powers. But yeah, I would love Cigar City. Like, I still want to try their Maduro, which is their brown ale, which is supposed to be a really good beer, but I have yet to have a chance to have it. And I wasn't really big into craft beer the last time I was in Florida, which was, gosh, 5-6 years ago now.
I can't remember. I was young last time I was in Florida. There's no point to go there that I can think of.
But I went for a wedding. None? So.
Zero.
So one thing I wanted to bring up, which is there was a opinion piece that happened not too long ago in regards to the phrase craft beer dying. And, you know, we always talk about craft beer here. We always talk about craft beer here, but it basically explains, you know, there is the Brewers Association definition of craft beer, you know, under 6 million barrels, local, traditional, sole, you know, independently owned. and then you move on. And I think it's definitely, as we say, it's a passé. It's not a legitimate definition. Everybody has their own definition, and everybody's definition is apparently right, and everybody else's is wrong.
So I'm right, everyone else is wrong.
Well, yes. Exactly. And the thing is that everybody counts craft beer interchangeable with microbrewery when, one, it doesn't interchange, one, for the one. And second, there's, you know, microbrewery, nanobrewery, you know, Bob, North Center Brewing, nanobrewery. It's not a microbrewery. You're not that big yet. Soon. Maybe.
Yeah. So what it boils down to is which license you have from the state.
And oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
So
I'm listening.
What we have, what there is different licenses that you can get, and nano brewery is actually not one of them. That is a made-up term.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
We're just making stuff up.
All right.
As we go.
And if you take a look at some of the state laws, depending on which state you are in, there's many different tiers of which it really doesn't matter how many barrels you had, because you alluded to different barrel, you know, the amount of barrels and things like that. It does have something to do with that, but it's more about what you are going to serve beyond that. There's a lot of there's a lot of politics involved, obviously. There's a
really?
Lot of different things that you need to apply for depending on what you are going to serve. If it's beyond just beer. For example, we at North Center just applied for winemakers.
Oh, wow.
One of the reasons the winemakers is we don't really want to make our own wine. However, mead is technically a wine, and to make mead and sell mead, you have to have a winemaker's license.
Okay.
Now, there is a gray area involved in that. We just don't want to get caught up in that gray area. We may as well just have it. Mm. The other main reason, literally a majority of the reasons why we want to get our winemaker's license, is so we can sell wine at our brew pub.
Okay.
That we get bonded to from another winemaker.
So basically contracting
exactly.
wine from another winemaker
right.
to make North Center Brewing
That's
wine
right.
or North Center Winery wine. Where does ciders fall into that? Does ciders actually fall under the wine category, or is that a beer category? Or a third category?
Cider license.
It's a winemaker's license.
Okay.
All right.
That's one of our hurdles that we've had, because we there's a couple wine cider makers that are local to us that we want to have on tap. We can't get that because A, we can't sell somebody else's product.
Okay. Mm.
So with our particular license, we have to only sell what we create, what we manufacture in-house.
Now, does that necessarily mean in-house or within your business
no,
structure?
Another gray area. Everybody in the state knows that we only have one facility. So therefore, if they wanted to audit us, they know that everything is made in-house.
Okay.
So in-house means our only facility.
Okay.
At the time. Reason I say at the time is because we are now looking at getting an annex site.
And what does that mean?
So what we'd like to do is double or triple our manufacturing facility that is beyond what we have at the brew pub, but just not have an over-the-counter sale.
It's strictly for just producing, basically.
Just exactly.
It's kind of like because didn't Dragon Mead? They only had that one suite of their brewery, and then they kind of took the next building over just to expand. That's basically what it is. It's just adding on to an existing.
I wouldn't know. I'm not too familiar with the.
I thought they I thought they expanded their building to accommodate more brewing.
They might have. I've been there enough, but I wouldn't know just because I never toured the facility. Nor.
Well, neither have I. Just heard. No.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just.
Well, I know.
Maybe I'm talking out of my ass.
You got Rochester Mills, which has its own production center and it brews at its own place. You know, we talked to Eric a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about that.
And then you have Atwater.
You have Atwater, who brews at multiple places. Yeah, right. I don't know if they have a production facility or if the tap room in Detroit is the production facility.
The tap room in Detroit, the one that's off of Jefferson, is basically where they did most of their stuff. I think that's where it all started.
Yeah, that's where it all started. Yeah. Then, of course, they're now opening one up in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, so
they're,
it's they're like expanding their third, across their third state place now. So.
So it'll be it's you know we're it's exciting to see North Center Brewing you know expand that much, especially because definitely some of my favorite beers are coming there. Hopefully some more Maple Brown is coming right. soon.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
Where's that at?
Absolutely. Yeah, like, I'm making it special just for you.
You know, canned, called it the Better on Draft Maple Brown. Exactly. Maybe. Be ironic to put it in a can though. Yeah. This is Better on Draft. Can I get it on draft? No, it's only in a can.
No, it's only in a 40-ounce bottle.
Oh yeah, I'm down for that. Can we do 40-ounce brown ales?
For you, yeah.
Oh nice. Special order coming up.
Oh. Only four bottles.
Changing their
made.
Whole production right. just for us.
I was going to say, you know, I know you've been brewing your own beer. Maybe we can get some, like, Colt 45 bottles. And
oh, believe me.
Yeah, we do some transpo that way.
That plan's already in the works.
Oh, that's, yeah, geez.
That's an offline. Nah, we're not going to talk about that right now, but the malt liquor is coming.
Oh, so, you know, for me, and obviously Bob can correct me if I'm wrong, you know, I always reference nano breweries as basically breweries
drop
that are.
No, it's the chair.
I'm like, what?
That are brewed in-house. They're not, you know, distributing. And then microbreweries is what I always reference to, you know, your Dragon Meads, your Founders, your Bells, you know, except for Founders, because Founders is, well, no, it's micro. It's just not craft.
Well, like, how about say Koonin's, for example?
Well, I think Koonin, because they don't distribute outside
exactly.
of their own.
That's right. So they don't need a distribution license. And a lot of those licenses above a brew pub license takes care of that.
Now, I'm curious, you know, and I'd have to maybe ask, like, you know, John Pipe and Brock if we ever get them on the show, but they used to have a distribution license because you used to be able to get, I remember Fourth Dimension, a bottle at a store.
Never mind. I'm thinking of Dragon Meat. I was thinking Final Absolution.
Oh, Final Absolution.
Yeah, that's Dragon Meat.
Because I definitely recall, I don't remember the night, but I recall the Matt Stafford, Brendan Pettigrew draft where I drank a growler of Final Abso and a four-pack of Fourth Dementia, and I just don't remember.
You didn't get it from Koonin, though?
Oh, no, I bought it at a store.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm drinking a four-pack of a quad beer and a growler. This is back
sounds
when
like what we would do, though.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing's changed. Nothing's new.
I really made the point that any beer is a session beer if you tried hard enough that day.
If you're brave enough.
But that was back when everyone was upset. You know, even if you got Mark Sanchez, you're upset. You got Matt Stafford, you're upset. And then, like, after getting rid of Roy Williams for a first-round draft pick, you're all excited. And then you get Brandon Pettigrew, and you're like,
that is a good pick. That good. Is a serviceable pick.
I agree, but I think you could have got him a lot later.
Oh, yeah. We like to draft tight ends in the first round. I don't know what goes on around here. Nick shaking his head because he knows I'm right.
The only season ticket holder in the room right here, Nicholas Paglia.
What is it, 37 seasons?
Give you
family?
A lot of credit for that, man.
I actually just paid the full bill just yesterday. Oh.
I was saying, I heard the prices went up.
Yeah, like a
prices
couple percent.
Did go up.
I paid almost $2,400 this coming season, man.
For two seats
total?
Two seats
total.
It's not
yeah.
too bad, 8 games.
Well, they're still amongst the cheapest in the NFL overall.
I mean, you're looking at he sits like if you go down to the lower bowl, it's like two or three like rows down. So it's at the top, you can see the entire football field.
That's what
they're
you're gonna pay
seats,
if you're buying single tickets. So it's not like you're overpaying. It's
oh, yeah.
like,
and they're easy to sell tickets too. When he needs to,
couldn't imagine dragging myself to 8 home games of the Lions. Like, what am I doing? Or 10 if you're going to the preseason.
Well,
you got the preseason.
The one,
too.
One that I don't go to is Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yep.
Yeah.
So, but they, I mean, there's usually Thanksgiving's always a really good game and a really hot ticket to where you can spawn those out pretty quick.
Yeah, usually you can get a good, you can either get face value. One year I sold them for like 20, 30, 40% markup.
Oh, yeah. So, was that the Green Bay one?
Yeah, it was two Thanksgivings, so I think it was Green Bay. Yeah.
Was that Sue kicking someone in the head?
Yeah, it was. I'm sorry.
That wasn't the ball kick.
No.
You want to hand me one of those cans in the box over there?
Oh, that. Yeah. I was going to say the last Lions Thanksgiving game I went to was when we played Tennessee and they were up like 52-0 at halftime or whatever ridiculous number happened. It was like, I'm done. And
well, we went to the Raider or is it a Chargers
game?
Oh,
we went to the when they clinched the playoffs. Yeah, the that Chargers was a Christmas great Eve game. 4 p.m. Christmas Eve, we were there.
Yeah,
that was probably one of my favorite games I ever been to just because it was just a
place like nuts.
Oh, yeah, the place is so well. I mean, it was the first time in playoffs in a long time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, we played New Orleans. Which our offense played a great game. Defense, on the other hand, I think
the infamous Bounty Gate game.
Bounty Gate, yes.
Yeah.
There's so many gates against Detroit. Bat Gate, Bounty Gate. Those are the only two I could think of, really. So I guess there's two.
Catch Gate.
Catch Gate.
Complete the process gate.
The one with the Dallas Cowboys with the penalty that never happened. Too many people on the field gate.
Challenge Gate. Challenge Gate. That was because you threw a challenge on a play that's automatically challenged, you get a penalty, and now we don't review the play that we were gonna review and touchdown.
Gate.
That's way too many hyphens.
I'd like to thank Richard Nixon for coming up with this whole gate mantra. What would we do without?
Yeah, what would we call this right now?
Oh, Dick Nixon.
Wow.
Oh, Bob Woodward.
Goddamn Woodstein over there.
Again, you know, we were talking about it, you know, as I mentioned, you know, nano brewers as, you know, non-distribution brewers, micro brewers is, you know, stuff with distribution. Of course, your macros, your ABI, your Sad Miller, your, I guess, Constellation would be one. You know, these major breweries out there. But to us, you know, one of the big things, you know, people call it craft beer, but you know, why is there rules where one thing can be craft and one thing cannot? You know, we talked about crafty. Remember when Eric brought up crafty versus craft? But you're looking at breweries who do a lot, who Sam Adams, you know, they have, you know, 58 different beers, I think, under their umbrella. How is that not craft beer? How is that not, you know, trying, expanding, doing everything that they can to get different flavors and everything? Is it just because they sell too much? And I mean, you looked at. Remember when Budweiser used to have an amber ale and
Bud
amber,
Black, Bud Select,
Bud Dry, Bud Dry.
Why ask why?
You get a Bud. There's a commercial right there. Yeah. Why ask why? Just ask for get a Bud Dry. Bud Dry. You know, for us again, as long as it tastes good, that's all we care about. Or as long as we enjoy the taste. What does it matter what I drink compared to what you drink? So you know, I agree with the opinion that craft beer is pretty much, you know, it's a dead phrase. It's what is craft beer? Nobody can define it. You know, go on. Bob's got
It's actually very defined. And
okay. Hey.
Because from the federal government, they know what macro and micro breweries are. And there's a very finite amount of barrels. Let me put it to you this way. So you mentioned a lot of InBev stuff and the difference between Boston Beer Company, right?
Yep.
So Boston Beer Company being close or, you know, they always fight with the other guy to be the top craft brewery.
Yingling.
Regardless of
exactly. Yingling and Sam Adams pretty much have the same barrel output.
Exactly. Now, do they want to sell any more barrels? I'll ask you that.
Yes.
No, they don't.
No.
No. And because
they don't like money.
No, that's
not
true.
Hold on.
They do. However, the federal government will stick it to them. If they get
I think these rules might have been post or pre Obama.
These rules are post or pre Obama.
Pre Obama.
No fault of a lot of whoever you want to blame it on, but so do you know who the lowest macro brew is?
Lowest macro brew? Pabst? That's my guess. Pabst or Constellation?
No, I mean, it's Coors. I mean, it's
okay. I don't know if there was a – I don't know if he was trying to trick me or something.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a trick question.
Do you know?
And then
it was going to be like Founders or something. I'm like, oh, geez.
Talking about the difference between 60 million barrels, right, to What is
4.1 for Sam Adams in 2014?
Right. Yeah, it's more like 6. Right. So it's between them and Yuengling, I think they did 6.1. I think in 2015. So
okay, I haven't seen 15 stats yet. I've only seen 14 because right. I looked at it last night. That's why I know
point
it.
Point being is that yeah, if they even touched or sold more, they would be taxed into oblivion.
Okay,
and. Therefore, those bean counters over at Boston Beer Company and Yuengling know that they cannot overreach their sales. And if they do so, that would almost be fatal to them.
Hmm. I actually never thought of it that way. I mean, obviously, it makes complete and logical sense to where they don't want to – they're not they need to basically either stay the course and make as much as they can under it or explode – and be prepared for the tax backlash.
They're regulating themselves. That's basically what it is.
There won't ever be another new macro brew.
Hmm.
It's nearly – I can't think of a way that they can create the volume to bump themselves up into a tax bracket, into a macro brew where it would be fiscally responsible for them.
Well, it's always interesting to look, especially, you know, within the United States, because there's so many breweries who own other breweries in different countries, but not within the United States. You look at Corona, Grupo Modelo. You know, Grupo Modelo is its own entity inside the United States and Canada, I believe, whereas ABI owns it in the rest of the world. And this is the kind of stuff that we're seeing with.
There's a point. If we're getting into corporate taxes, that's a whole other. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, that's another.
Well, that's as I was trying to go. That's pretty much within the antitrust laws in regards to creating competition and making sure the competition was in there, which is what we've discussed on previous shows.
Yeah, well, that came up too, but that also goes into corporate law where the U.S. will tax what you make overseas if you're a U.S.-based corporation selling overseas. So you have to have the corporation established in the other country, so the U.S. can't tax that.
Yeah, but that, foreign, can trickle down into the importer, though.
Yeah, it's a mess.
For example, like Barton. Barton is a huge importer. They're the ones that have to pay the duties, taxes on all of those huge imports for the big volume.
I must have been asleep for that day in class.
What, corporate taxes?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Corporations leave the U.S.
finance class.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely a lot. And mind you, I've done a lot of, in regards to learning about financing, taxing, accounting, that kind of stuff within school. And obviously, it's just the tip of the iceberg when you're looking at those basic classes.
Oh, absolutely.
To,
yeah.
What we're learning now and what we're learning, from Bob. And we appreciate, obviously, you coming out because one of the big things
Thumbs up as he's on Facebook.
As he's on, he's tweeting his little heart away. These assholes don't know anything about beer.
Shit, don't know anything.
I don't know what the fuck am I doing here.
I don't know why we're sponsoring that.
Accidentally text Ken that.
Gosh, your co-hosts suck. He's getting a kick out of it. It's all
good. So, that's pretty much it in regards to that article. So, obviously, it's interesting, to see it from a fan perspective, a person who talks about it, a person, on the struggling Better on Draft podcast.
Oh, that's right.
Struggling.
Got a fun number.
We
struggling at 253,000.
We'll tell you on the break because it's a fun story.
For the show so far. So. Struggling.
Do you remember Bud Silver at all?
Bud Silver. I don't recall Bud Silver.
It's a discontinued type of Budweiser.
Oh, it's a beer? Yeah. Oh, Bud Silver. I'm like, who is Bud Silver?
I know.
Bud
Silver.
Okay, so
he was in that one movie with that one actress.
So apparently there's a reason why we never did see it. It was only in the United Kingdom.
Oh, I was going to say it probably came out the same time as Pepsi Clear.
Oh, I remember Pepsi Clear.
I was more of a fan of...
Wasn't it Crystal Pepsi?
Crystal Pepsi, yeah.
That's right.
We're totally failing.
I was going to say...
We got Bob's here to help us.
I know.
What about Pepsi Perfect?
Pepsi Perfect. I didn't never, you know...
That was from Back to the Future.
No, that's Pepsi Free. Remember, you got to pay for that.
No, but
you can't get a Pepsi
second movie.
Free. Oh.
The second movie.
I don't remember it from the second movie.
No, what second movie? There's only one.
No, there's... The first one's the best, the third one's the second best, and the second one's the worst out of that trilogy.
Has the best scene when Biff leaves his house, like between when he's yelling at his grandma, throws the ball. That is the best.
I'm going
scene
to the dance, Grandma.
I told you, Grandma.
Go get it!
Yeah. Oh, is this your ball?
He throws it.
Yes, you guys know I'm
sure, man. Go get it!
It was 1-3-2. I guess I got to watch this in machete order.
Well, no, it's not. It's not like a machete order where you're supposed to watch it to get a perfect thing. But I'm definitely one of the few people that love Back to the Future 3 over 2. Like, everyone hounds over 2 just because of the futuristicness of it. Mind you, we are in said future now, and
we're past that.
And the Cubs still didn't win.
The Cubs still didn't win. That would have been against the Florida Gators.
Something like
that. Yeah. The Miami.
Miami Gators. That's right. Yeah. So that the thing was is that near like halfway through the season it was possible that the Marlins versus the Cubs, but they would have been the
National
League championship game. So it was definitely interesting, and then everybody, to be honest, it's probably all Steve Bartman's fault.
I'm sure it is. I'll guarantee it.
You stop blaming him.
Did anybody watch the 30 for 30 on him?
No.
Yes.
Good Lord.
It was a very good 30 for 30. I don't recall. It's been a couple of years since I watched it, but I remember, I don't think they got a live interview with them, but I think they talked to him because they found him, because they spent a lot. He spent a lot of stuff trying to figure, you know, hiding. Mm-hmm. And he's still in Chicago. It's not like he ran away from the area.
He got caught a frickin' ball. Get over it. And that wasn't game 7 even. Why don't you just
game
win,
six, yeah,
win the game, win the next game. Come on. Stop blaming the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the, like the half of me that like blames, like, you know, oh my God, you know, when Pittsburgh had 6 men on the ice in game 6 against Detroit and then we lost. And
obviously,
then,
that's why we lost the series, because of that.
And then game 7. Well, it caused a penalty, which caused a power play goal, which caused us to lose game 6. And
let's ignore yet another game after that.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Well, no, yeah. That's why I was talking about it. Jeez. You have to be a Debbie Downer on everything, don't you, Dan?
No, because I hate a people. Danny Downer. No, I just hate plebs that get mad over stuff like that. Oh, it's Steve Bartman's fault.
I can still get mad at it, but I can still look at it logically without having to get completely upset.
No, yeah.
Like the whole Brandon Inge getting hit in game 163 and then it never getting called, and then we lost game 163 because somebody lost the ball in the Metrodome. It was the Metrodome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was that the Metrodome?
Yeah,
That was that. That was Twins run. They made that huge run. Was it in 07? That was the year after we went to the World Series.
No, it was 09.
Yeah, I was still in. Yeah, I think it was.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 09.
When did we get? Was 08 the World Series we went to?
No, 06 was the World Series.
I thought it was the year after that. Maybe not.
06 was the World Series. 08 was the year we bought like Gary Sheffield and all these other guys, and we sucked.
Yeah,
he's still my Tiger.
09 was
Sheffield.
'09 was game 163.
Those commercials
where they went on like a 20-game run or whatever. Trying to do is win one game against
Chicago Cubs. But the thing was is that the logic was that if the Tigers went 500, they played 500 ball in the last 20 games. The Twins had to play like 820 ball to win. They had to win like 17 games out of 20. And what did they do? They won 17 games out of 20. Detroit went 500 for the rest of the season for that like 20 game span, and there we are at once. You know, a lot of people are blame. I'm like, you can't really, you know, as much as you want to fault the Tigers, the Twins played out of their goddamn mind to make it into that game 163. True. I'm getting really excited to try this Nitro IPA from Guinness.
Hey, but it's having it there.
Don't you have to pour it into a cup? Is it
do
like
I have
a
to?
I don't know. I'm just assuming it's
let's,
like a Guinness.
Let's grab a cup.
Thing.
I don't know these things. I just drink beer, you know. Every glass is a glass.
And you know, can
comes in a pitcher, that's a glass.
Ken, you were right about the 2009 season.
Of course I was.
I'm not the biggest baseball fan. I knew it was in that era.
I remember the 06 where we were at a friend of ours. Dan and I were at a friend of ours for the last game where we lost to St. Louis.
That.
And then I remember dropping and breaking a 40 of Bud Light.
I do remember that.
Not necessarily the worst thing in the world.
No, we were.
Was that a Halloween party?
I don't even remember what
we were doing.
I remember we were at our friend Charlie's house. That's all I definitely remember was. Was being there and being like, I'm drunk, because the thing was, mind you, this is 2006, so not everyone's got flat screen TVs yet, and not everyone's got, you know, big TVs. So we're in somebody's bedroom watching it on this little 30-inch TV.
It's not awkward.
We're all huddling around the TV and just like, hey.
Oh, it was out of control. It was a pretty big party.
Oh yeah, there was those parties were
always
huge though.
Did I have to supply that party? I don't even remember.
Oh, probably. probably 06. I was only 20 at that time, so you probably – well, no, you know what? No, Charlie and the gang had their own way to get
– And the gang.
And the gang, Charlie and the gang.
Charlie ordering rumplements for everyone and be like, hey, guys.
I'm trying to – wasn't that at
somewhere ridiculous – oh, it was out on like Mound in like – Oh, 20,000 miles or something, or wherever we were.
20,000 miles. I think that's the appropriate place. It might be a few miles off, but, you know, 20,000 miles sounds about
like
right.
That, but
oh, the Rumplement. That was
like,
a fun
let's
day.
Let's just drink Rumplement. So I'm like, all right.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Oh, geez. It had to have been for somebody's birthday sometime, somewhere. You know, it was definitely an interesting time, to say the least, in regards to all of our lives. But yeah, so I'm gonna you guys talk about the beers you're drinking while I try this. So
go ahead, Nick. Let's hear what you're talking about.
Go, Nick. You're
I'm
drinking
still
like
drinking
six
the.
We're gonna put Nick
well,
on.
You,
the
yeah, you said you didn't like the HTV. At
no,
first,
it's got
so.
it's got a little bit. Let's, it's warmed up a little bit, so it's a lot better.
Let's
now.
Talk about that beer.
I
you
think
know,
you're
is
crazy.
It, when we listen to that song, that Money for Nothing song, do we like it with the F word taken out of it? And I'm not talking about fuck. Do we like to listen to it with that removed, with that line removed, or do we like the original version?
I think HTV is an awesome IPA.
It's
like water.
It's, I'm so confused at this taste.
This tastes like nothing.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't. It's got like a faint taste of hops. That's about it.
As I was saying, it has warmed up a little bit, Bob, and it's gotten a little bit better. The first sip was pretty brutal, but I didn't really know what to expect.
Ken, for our first break, can we listen to Money for Nothing, the unedited version?
Yeah. Right.
You know, if people might not know what I'm talking about.
I can pull it off.
This up.
I can pull it off, so you guys got to keep it.
Get your money for nothing.
The radio version that has to take that one line out. I'm not going to say the word because I'm not going to be that guy. I'd rather drop F-bomb, like the other F-bomb.
You would rather drop the real F-bomb.
I'm not going to get labeled. Someone's going to hear that.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree on the nitro. It's like it smells more like beer than it tastes like beer.
Oh,
what are you doing?
Don't worry about it. Just keep going, guys. Talk about that nitro beer.
It's extremely faint, and it's I don't know. It's like when you get that one really really old like bottle of Gatorade.
Really?
And it's just, you have that water, but there's that like that little faint taste of lemon lime that's in there that you know you're drinking Gatorade, but you're not really sure until that finally hits the back of your throat. And it's just kinda...
So I haven't had it yet. I'm probably one of the few that haven't had it yet.
Go for
it. Before I do this, do you think that this is like a complete myth? Oh, there goes Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Can. Pop that can, Bob.
Pop that 40.
I mean...
or pop that 12.
Pop that 12.
It's actually
spiraling out of control.
Shut up.
It's 11.2 ounces.
Kiss my ass.
Anyway,
Rob, do you think this was a complete strikeout by Guinness?
I feel like if ever there was anything that was to be truly called a session beer, it would be this.
Oh, gosh.
And, oh, yeah, you don't taste anything.
I mean, it's weird. I mean.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I don't know.
All right, well, let me give you the tagline. It says...
Oh, there's a tagline on the box?
On a quest to explore new recipes, reinterpret old ones, and collaborate freely to bring exciting beers to life. India Pale Ale.
Who do they collaborate with?
Oh, no.
Stephanie's shaking her head.
Yes.
She doesn't want to talk. No, come on.
No, come on, talk.
No,
it's okay.
Let her go Shrekelly on
it.
It's just
5.8
Did you guys see what the IBU is on here, too? It's a 44 IBU for IPA.
44?
I don't
does
even...
the nitro knock about 50 off?
I don't know, Bob. Does it?
Hold on, wait. Stephanie had a thought. What?
A 44 is not bad.
For an IPA, though?
Oh.
Stephanie's deep in thought with the beer.
I am. When I hear IPA, I want a little more hops.
Definitely.
And
there you go.
It's always one of those things whenever I hear the word hops, I always think of McLovin. I heard they put more hops in it.
More hops in it. I mean, do they... I don't know. I've never heard of the term nitro IPA before. Is this like a first? This is the first time I've seen nitro.
I'm sure somebody's done it.
This is Guinness doing whatever they do.
This is Guinness doing Guinness things because they could put Guinness on it.
Yeah.
I struggle. I struggle with them experimenting a lot more over the last, I don't know, like 2 years, 3 years.
Everything they put out, experimental sucks.
You have so yeah, it's so not let's been, let's take let's we're coming. I know Ken's getting ready for the break. So really, yep. really quickly, you have the regular Guinness. Okay, it's king, whatever.
Yeah. yeah.
And then you have what black lager was black, that the next
I didn't
one?
Like yeah. black.
And then they came blonde. Out with like Harp. The blonde.
You got the Harp.
Well, Harp.
Oh, Guinness blonde. I forgot about that.
Let's exclude Harp and Smithwick's, right?
Keeping those separate then.
Let's keep okay. let's keep them separate. Yeah, separate just sticking yeah. with what we know. We a Guinness, and then you have black lager. You have the blonde. You have
Nitro
IPA.
I don't think there's any other.
Has there been another, excluding Smithwick's and Harp?
They did a limited release one when they had their anniversary, but I can't think of anything else.
I mean, since then, since they started doing this other stuff, they really haven't come out with anything spectacular. In my mind.
No, I haven't found anything that I've liked, but we're going to take a quick break. We're up against the break. I think we can say that officially now. We're in the radio
against
business.
The wall.
So we're going to be right back in a couple of songs. So stay tuned and enjoy. And we are back with the Better on Draft podcast, episode number 19. Once again, my name's Ken. We got Dan, Nick, and Rob.
Hey.
Did you like that little shout-out I did at the intro?
Yeah, I did. I like that.
I was trying to quiet everyone down because I hadn't gotten a chance to edit the original intro. But we also got Bob and Stephanie from North Center Brewing, one of our sponsors. We do appreciate it. But, you know, in regards to sponsors, did you know that North Center Brewing is a sponsor?
No. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Get right out of town.
Shut the front door.
Bob's with a thumbs up.
Along with North Center Brewing, we also have Zatuna Liquor out in Rochester Hills. Definitely your place to get. They do keg orders. They do beers, singles, six packs, whatever you want. As well as a full liquor selection. Definitely a great selection out there. Tell Jack or Gus, depending on which Zatuna you go to, that we say hi. And Jack will definitely hook you up if you say you heard us from the Better on Draft podcast. If you aren't already getting hooked up from Jack. Jack's a great guy out there. I don't know if you guys
have been
there
forever.
Well, I've been going there since probably 2007.
Say a long time.
Yeah, 2007, 2008, I've been going to Zatuna pretty much since they opened over at the Carl's Golf Land that used to be there.
Nice.
Over in M59 and Rochester Road. So, yeah, there's a reason why I keep going back, and there's a reason why I live in downtown Detroit and still go out to Zatuna and Rochester.
Yeah, such a drive.
That's a pretty big drive, especially because you got to get off at, like, Rochester Road and then go up Rochester Road.
I was going to say, that's like a long non-freeway drive out there.
Oh, yeah. So it was a lot easier when I worked in at M59 and Adams, and I could just take 59, get off at Rochester, stop at Zatuna before I got home. But that was years ago when I worked at the bank and lived with my parents.
That was a long time ago,
I'm
going to say back when I used to show up to any party with a red polo and khakis on because I would never change out of my work clothes.
Some Flagstar uniform?
Oh, yeah, Flagstar uniform, which was different than when I got off work at Laser Quest and came out with my blue polo and black pants on. As you can tell, as I'm wearing a polo right now,
it's just what you wear. I don't know why we're talking about why you would go change.
I really never. Changed out of polo clothes. I always like polo. So we definitely poured some beers out there. We got Dragon's Milk's Vanilla Chai, their reserve that they just released.
What do you think about this? Have you tasted it?
I haven't had it yet.
Take
have you
try.
Had it yet?
I don't think there's enough vanilla.
You don't think there's enough
vanilla?
I'm a little
disappointed.
Let's talk about
in
it
that.
For a second.
It's very chai tasty, yes.
It's very chai tasty.
There's not enough vanilla. That's what I was looking for.
A lot of chai, not a lot of vanilla.
Oh, yeah. You can have that chai taste right on your tongue. Yeah. Like, you can taste. Yeah.
Like, immediately. And it's not. Bad.
Even after.
And that's the good thing. It kind of reminds me of the raspberry. It masks the liquor taste. So
yeah.
You can drink
this. Oh, yeah. You don't taste any liquor.
I was hoping
there.
For vanilla. I was thinking like that short swirl. There was a lot of vanilla taste.
Right.
In that, and that was delicious.
Yeah, I bought two more six packs of that. That's not coming here. That is staying at home.
Just hope I don't show up because I'll drink it. I mean, I've done that to one person already. And apparently they were mad when they figured after they told. Well, no. The person who told me wasn't mad. The person who bought it was mad after they told me to drink it.
you can't get mad when you
told
me.
No, it's like you told us to drink that. You can't get too mad.
So, yeah, the vanilla chai is pretty good. I'm pretty much triple fisting right now. I still got some of the Nitro IPA
I think
left.
A lot of us actually.
Yeah, we, I don't know what we're doing anymore.
Dan's got some Rochester Mills.
We need
Mills
to start taking like graveyard pictures after our shows.
Oh, I know.
All the glasses and
well,
all the cups
was it
here.
Was it the show when Bob was here where we had nowhere to put anything because we had so many cups?
Oh,
was
yeah, but that was the day where we all brought growlers. Like, they brought three. I brought two. I think Nick might have brought
that's
one.
That's what I say. That was the ridiculous night where there was nowhere to put anything.
Well, that's because it was also all shareables. It was all growlers as opposed to cans, where we couldn't like keep cans near ourselves right now.
We did mark everything, which was kind of nice. You know, we sharpied everything. So.
You're right.
there wasn't a lot of cross contamination.
we're not very bright here on Better on Draft.
So one thing that I want to bring up, especially because it's definitely big in regards to what happened this past week. So I don't know if you guys know, but the Super Bowl happened on Sunday.
Oh, did it?
Peyton won. He won the Denver Broncos.
We found out he lives in a duplex because he had talked to the guy upstairs.
He lives in a duplex.
He lives in a duplex.
And
he was going to drink a lot of Budweiser.
He was going to drink Budweiser and hang out with the guy upstairs.
I'm
going to
drink a lot of Budweiser, hang out with the guy upstairs, and
kiss my wife, kiss my kids, and you know.
Well, it's a lot better than remember when Brock Lesnar won his first MMA fight and he said, "I'm going to drink a bunch of Coors Light and have sex with my wife."
That was UFC 100. He beat the shit out of Frank Mir.
It was. I'm gonna have Coors Light because Coors Light pays me.
Oh no, because Bud Light doesn't pay me.
Yeah.
And that was the main sponsor, the logo in the center of the octagon.
Oh gosh.
It's like, I'm gonna go do this.
So we have we obviously he gave a big shout out to Budweiser and the Budweiser commercial. Did you guys actually get a chance to see the Budweiser?
We watched it last week. Didn't we watch it on the show?
We listened to it on the show. We didn't you watched it.
Oh, that's right, because I was sitting over here.
So the not backing down, and I thought it was hysterical. I found it was
countering craft beer? Is that what that was?
No.
Is that
no, not at all. So,
am I totally not understanding was about?
No, I'm going to basically explain how I felt the advertisement went. Obviously, it's great to have Bob here because Bob's going to see it in a different light than I do just because he is in that segment. He is in the business. I'm just a consumer, a lowly consumer.
So you're the person they look for.
Well, what's funny was that a lot of people. Oh no, I'm definitely not the target. So
not
a lot of people.
Mark.
No, this isn't wrestling here. So a lot of people are complaining. You know, Bud Light Budweiser. The commercial was for Budweiser, the product. And that's the first step that a lot of people forget. It's for Budweiser, the product, not for Anheuser-Busch, not for Bud Light, not for anything else, because Budweiser is in competition with Bud Light and other Budweiser products. So the commercial's for Budweiser, and it says, you know, not in a fruity cup, and everybody's like, well, all the craft breweries you're buying, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, but the commercial's for Budweiser, not for anything else. It's for the red can, Budweiser. And I bring up this comparison because I think it explains it a lot more than a lot of people, you know, seem to grasp a little better. If I did a commercial for Bud Select 55 and I'm saying this is Bud Select 55, 55 calories, only has 55 calories, am I really having an anti-commercial to my Bud Light and Budweiser brands?
No, you're promoting the product at that point. If you're saying Bud Select 55, you're talking about the product.
But again, I'm talking about 55 calories. It's better for you because it has 55 calories.
Okay, well,
it's less calorie intake. So obviously, you know, how
it's
can
I? It's a different market. It's a different audience.
Yeah.
I'm leaning a little far away. The person buying that is not the same buying the regular Bud.
Exactly. So in regards to the fact that they're not creating – the Bud Select like commercial is not creating an anti-Budweiser commercial. You know, they have beer that have higher calories, so it's not an anti-Budweiser. It's a here's an alternative, here's a drink. So when I bring a Budweiser commercial that says, you know, not served in a fruit cup – no, it's not, you know, pertaining to the rest of my portfolio in my parent company, Anheuser-Busch. It's only comparing Budweiser to, you know, basically, you know, the industry in regards to adjunct lager versus everyone else. And just because you have everything else doesn't mean that you can't promote that product because that's what that product's for.
All right. So if you actually listen. You know, this is what they said in the commercial. They said, not ponies, not a hobby, not small, not sip, not soft, not important, not a fruit cup, not following, not for everyone, not backing down. The last, in my mind, the piece that stands out the most is not backing down.
Well, that was the name of their advertisement was called Not Backing
okay,
Down.
Okay, but so to me, and this is where I think, you know, some people, you know, if they see those words, the Not Backing Down piece, I think that's where people are going to say, oh, that's a direct attack towards craft at that point. Especially, I mean, not the other stuff might be, but then you get to see those last three words. And I think that's where people, at least in my mind.
They're just not backing down from trying to buy everybody out.
But the thing is that
ain't that the truth?
As Budweiser, you're not going after that crowd. That's not your target market. Your target market is the people who drink Budweiser, the people who drink Coors, the people who drink PBR, the people who drink all of these, you know, yellow beers, as we'll call them. That's their target audience. So people who are, you know, as I'll call them, Facebook craft beer enthusiasts. We'll leave it at that. The FCBE, Facebook craft beer enthusiasts.
We're creating a new community.
We'll label them.
New acronym.
You can find this on Facebook.
The target market. So the point of you being upset is their goal. Their goal is to make you upset because they're not talking to you in the first place.
That's a good point.
They're talking to their target audience. They're talking to the audience who may have gone to their Budweiser, but if you look at Budweiser, you look at everything that they've done.
They've gotten your attention at that point.
Exactly. And that's they got people talking. They have us talking about it.
Yeah.
You know.
You're welcome, Budweiser.
Right. You're welcome, Budweiser. They're listening right
unlike
now.
Peyton Manning, unlike Peyton Manning, we do not own two distributors in Louisiana who just happened to.
And 30 Papa John's.
What's that?
And 30 Papa John's.
And 30 Papa John's.
Does he really?
I mean, I thought that was, well, just to kind of go back on the Super Bowl, I thought it was kind of funny that he was sitting there talking about, you know, kissing his wife, kissing his kids, you know, drinking a bunch of Budweiser, and the first person that he kisses is Papa John.
Yeah,
Papa John
was on the field. So, but Bob, I want your opinion in regards to the commercial, because obviously the commercial, you know, can be construed as an attack against you, the craft beer industry. You know, what did you think about it? Did you not take it personally? Or, you know, because there's a lot of people, especially local, that took it very personal. I know Hopcat was very personal in regards to the fact that they were very public in regards to, you know, how much they were upset at the commercial. So,
yeah, my take on it is that, it would, like you were saying, there's Budweiser is not AB InBev, right? Although they are their largest volume. That's not really what they're talking about. What they're talking about is the people that are drinking Budweiser and trying other things. They're not backing down. They're not going to be somebody different that other people are trying. They're not a craft beer. And, you know, full you know, disclosure, I'm a Budweiser fan, and I'm not talking about the company. I'm not talking about AB InBev. I'm talking about Budweiser as a beer. You know, like you were saying, it's just Budweiser. Is it a difference between that and Bud Light? Yeah, to a degree, it is. Are they saying that it's opposite, or not opposite, but are they competing against their own brands? That's a stretch. But from a Budweiser standpoint, they want to make sure that their target market is that macro brew consumption that most people are drinking. You know, they still have, you know, if you go into any grocery store, 8 to 9 out of 10 beers is probably going to be a Budweiser product. And they want to continue to – their marketing is showing and wanting to keep it that way.
Okay.
And I think that's what they're saying. They're not backing down. They're not – you know, I think they're trying to maybe distance themselves – a little bit from the AB InBev mantra of buying up smaller craft beer guys and saying, hey, we want to change it up. And, you know, like we were talking about before with, like, the Coke and the Pepsi and the Crystal. And
the Crystal
that.
Pepsi. You know,
like, I think right. They want to say, we're not going to change anything. And because we're doing well, and even though we're not going to admit that we're losing a whole ton of market share, because the market share really isn't going to get any worse than 10%. It's at 10%. I don't see it getting any worse. It's just going to be always be there. So they're going to get 8 to 9 out of 10 beers. Eight out of 10 beers is going to be an AB InBev, and most of it is going to be Budweiser, right? So that's what I think they were talking about. And another full disclosure, I actually did not see that particular commercial. I'd love to see it. I did hear, you know, the what you said from the text. It makes sense. I think their marketing department was spot on. I agree with it. I you know, they know what they're doing. And, you know, even though they have, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that they can spend on marketing, I think that what they're doing is the right thing. And no matter what, there's going to be all of us craft beer drinkers that will always go back to a macro brew. We're always going to drink a Coors Light or a Coors, you know, the Banquet.
PBR.
Beer, you know, and a...
You're looking at, as I'm a little loud, but you're looking at the fact that when I came out there before you guys were open and you guys were drinking Labatt, I think at that time, and I'm like, all right, you know, to me, I didn't care, but it just didn't seem like the right thing. But, you know, what's your guys' mantra?
No, you tell me. I love to hear it from other people.
Well, if you like it, then it's a good beer.
That's right.
It's simple as that.
It's stuck with him since you said it.
Oh yeah, If you like it,
it's a good beer.
That's all that matters, though. That's all that needs to matter.
Yeah.
Me drinking the Snow Days by Rochester Mills does have no effect in regards to what you're drinking, what you're enjoying, or what you do enjoy.
This whole macro versus micro war. Is a smokescreen to me.
I think it started by the community itself.
Oh yeah, the craft beer community.
I think that I've always been a proponent for the fact that the craft beer community is the biggest enemy.
I was just gonna say you said that. That's absolutely true. It's like they start it. They drive this artificial demand. Like what?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of companies that create their own artificial demand.
Well, yeah.
You got like Goose Island, who could make more Bourbon County if they wanted to, but they choose not to. But then you have people who chase trucks, people who buy more than their allotment, that create
that. And it's fun.
Well, I don't know who it's fun for.
It's fun for both.
It's not fun for the guy who wants one bottle but can't get it.
It's fun.
And why are you doing it if it's not that fun?
It's fun for the distributor. It's fun for the retailer. It's fun for the producer. It's definitely not fun for the consumer.
Weren't there people in line at 6 a.m. at 8 degrees?
Oh, yeah.
Over. Is that fun? Rain?
It's fun for the first 5 people in line. And then if you're number 6, 7, 8, 9 and beyond, you're fucked at that point. Sorry. Excuse my language, but it's true.
I'm sure they'll have fun again, because I mean last year's commercial, they poked fun at pumpkin peach ale. What happened? You had craft companies making pumpkin peach ale.
You're right.
So now when you have the fruit cup, and I guess Bob, I'll go ahead and give you first rights to it. You know, to quote Nurse Diesel from High Anxiety, those who are tardy do not get fruit cup ale. If you want to go for that,
yeah, I love that.
I'm down.
I think it's going to challenge some of them. That, you know, they're going to. It's like, all right, he just made it. Budweiser just made fun of fruit cups. All right, we're making a fruit cup ale, right?
Fruit cup ale on deck.
Fruit cup ale.
What's the over under that another company comes out with a fruit cup ale this year?
It's definitely going to be something that happens just because
it's
going to
happen.
I mean, you look at Griffinclaw. Griffinclaw was one of the major local proponents in regards to creating a pumpkin peach ale.
Those guys over there are freaking crazy with the crap that they come out with.
Oh, like Miso Ornery?
Miso Ornery,
they just execute someone today, too? They're like promoting
it was
a beer.
The other day.
No,
it was the other day.
It was one of their – it was like the leader of their army.
Yeah, right. You're selling a beer and this guy's executing people. And you're selling a beer with his face on it.
I know, with Kim Jong-un.
Well, I mean, you look at that, for me, like, Griffin Claw is definitely in that area of beer where it's really expensive beer. But yeah, they really hit a lot of their points.
They do. They really, really do.
So it's like, I know it's worth the price, but I don't want to spend the price because I can pay it somewhere else.
Yeah. And then and going to Griffin Claw last? Yeah, last
when you got growler?
Yeah, the growler, yeah. I mean,
the metal growler.
You're paying the price, but as you mentioned, you're getting something.
To go off on a tangent of what you guys are talking about.
By all means, do it.
Do you have a favorite name of a beer?
Favorite name of a beer?
Ooh.
Favorite title?
I was going to say, that's good.
Very interesting question.
There's always, you know, like different beers that catch your attention, but I always think, you know, in regards to a beer that I think will always stick in my head, and it's always a beer, and that's the Downtown Brown.
Oh, God, that's old school.
That's a Chicago brewing over in Four Queens in Vegas.
Old Town Brown.
Old Town Brown, yeah. That's right. See, I don't even remember it, so now I need to go back.
Old Town Brown in Chicago. I think a little bit local, I think I Ride the Ghost Whip out of... that's a Ghost Pepper Porter out of Black Lotus.
Well, Ride the Ghost Whip. So I guess bringing it back to me, it's got to be Final Absolution then. You'll always remember Final Absolution.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
One that really struck me was Ghetto Blaster out of
Ghetto
Blaster. Motor City Brewing.
I almost brought a six.
How about Nice Bloobs? Oh, no. Nice Bloobs is good.
Nice Bloobs, yes.
Hey, what brewery was that from, Dan?
Was that North Center? I think.
Did you know they're one of our sponsors?
No, I didn't. Thanks for telling me. I didn't know that.
I think the one that's lately, it's just still the one that's been stuck in my head, has been the Your Mom on French Toast.
Your Mom on French Toast.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, I've got friends at work who have family who live in Muskegon, and I said, hey, your friends are coming to town, right? They're like, oh, yeah. It's like, can they go to Pigeon Hill and, you know, get this beer for me? He's like, all right, well, what beer are you looking for? I'm in an office where the walls are maybe 3 feet high, and there's 20 people around us. I said, "Well, it's called Your Mom on French Toast," and just every single head just stops and looks like, "What did he just say?" He just starts laughing. He's like, "What is it again?" I was like, "I have to say it again. It's called Your Mom on French Toast." All right.
I like the New Belgium names. I like the Fat Tire. I like the Accumulation, Snow Day, 1554. They have good names.
Fat Tire, when that came out, the name, I'm like, what, Fat Tire?
I know,
there's a whole story
it's
behind
America.
It.
It's America.
Everybody wanted to call it Flat Tire.
Flat Tire, yeah. When I hear Fat Tire, I'm like, what the hell's a Fat Tire?
So, what'd you call me?
I toured the New Belgium Brewery a couple times when I lived in Colorado.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there's like a whole story behind the Fat Tire, where homeboy was over in Belgium riding a bike with a Fat Tire and like going and getting ideas about his brews.
I'm just gonna call it Fat Tire, you know?
And it stuck.
It did, and it's, you know, when that came out, and we've talked about that on the show. When that beer came out, everyone was crazy for it. Now it's just like,
people were more crazy when you couldn't get it here in Indiana.
Now it just fell off. It did, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think we've seen that a few times in regards to, especially like when Ballast Point first came out really quick. Everybody's like, oh my God, Ballast Point. Now it's just like, all right, it's there.
It's here now.
You can get it anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It's not anything special anymore.
Right. I feel like with March Madness coming up, we need to do like top 64 best beer names.
Oh, we can come up with something. I'm sure we can definitely pull that off. Yeah, we can definitely do something.
How about this beer, Sex Panther?
Sex Panther.
60% of the time?
It works all the time. Sex Panther Double Chocolate Porter.
Dude, that's illegal, man. It's made with real bits of panther. So
I'm not going to lie. It smells like pure gasoline. It's a good movie.
Or how about old Leg Humper?
Old Leg Humper. Oh, boy. Is that Milo?
I think I've actually seen that.
So I will.
No, it's not Milo, but it's like a lab on the bottle.
So I will add that Dark Horse, if you remember, this is a little bit old school, and this one always stuck with me. They had a Smells Like Weed IPA.
That makes me think of Al Dankarino out of Oddside.
Oddside, right. Yeah.
Another reason Oddside is one of my favorites. Yeah. And because beans are good, too.
But, El Dancarino makes me think of weed. That's why they're my
favorite. But, so, they sold... if you had a bottle of Smells Like Weed IPA, you'd have quite... a rare bottle that got pulled.
I'm curious.
They changed the name, and this was
it's called Smells Like a Safety Meeting now, isn't it?
That's right. Smells Like a Safety Meeting.
I love Smells Like now, a Safety
Meeting. That's what happens to Republicans now, getting how, their hands
up. I actually even had a conversation with I was talking to some of the guys from Dark Horse, and I unfortunately there was a lot of beers getting imbibed, and I don't remember the answer on why it got changed to that name. Or I remember why, obviously, but how Safety Meeting was the answer to Smells Like Weed. I don't remember that. Which I'm trying to rack my brain because, I mean, why would they change it to Smells Like a Safety Meeting? I mean, I don't even know what is a safety meeting.
I keep thinking it was a movie reference or just some reference to like union meetings where just they had to get together. It's like, oh, smells like a safety meeting.
Well, I thought it was more potentially a homage to like the safety dance, like, you know, almost
the
like you
safety
know.
Dance.
Well, yeah, that's, it's funny you talk about
a guy a midget dressed like a bumblebee
okay,
on the line.
All right, biodome, you know. It's funny because we actually at work we actually do have safety meetings every month.
Oh, here and now we know we found the answer.
Does it talk about not smoking weed?
No, we don't bring up those kinds of things in our safety meetings. We talk about not getting electrocuted and dying.
Well, that involves not smoking weed, I'm assuming.
What does that have to do with IPA?
I don't know. We're talking about it smells like another safety meeting. I don't know what the hell we're talking about. How about this beer? Woolly Back Overly Manly Black IPA.
That's terrible.
Seems like a little too much.
Well, no, because I don't know if this is real or not, but the label shows Vladimir Putin on a bear.
Hold on.
Let's say that one more time. It has Vladimir Putin what?
On a grizzly bear.
That just completely changes the subject.
Say the whole name again for me.
I mean, it's like the bear, like freaking Kim Jong-un on a...
Nick, say that name for us again. Yeah.
Say the name again.
Vladimir Putin?
No,
the beer. Yeah.
The beer, dude.
Oh, the beer.
Woolly Back?
Oh, that's it?
Like that's you it? Said Woolly like Back?
It's Woolly Back Overly Manly Black IPA.
I kind of want to drink that now. Where do we get this?
I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, I'm not finding anything on tap.
Is he
right
wearing
now.
No shirt?
I hope that
is he shirtless.
He is shirtless.
Oh, thank God. Shirtless. Yeah. That's why everyone should have elected Martin O'Malley, because him and Putin would be like shirtless together, like flexing.
Yeah. All right, so
that's how I base my votes.
You're my boy blueberry wheat ale.
Oh, I was like, wait one. A minute, I've heard this
I've
name
heard
before.
That, yeah.
So I see you're standing up. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask, what was the name of that beer that we had when I came over before you guys had started opening? And it was like a trout or something, or the beer that tasted like it tasted like the zebra gum. Remember
right.
The zebra gum?
No, so I thought you were talking about one of our beers.
No, not one of your beers.
Yeah, right.
It was this beer where you tasted it, and it had such this random taste, and then it tasted like wax.
And just like the zebra, was it called Zebra Stripe?
Zebra Stripe or something like that, zebra yeah. Stripe. Like, that was the best way to explain it.
Immediately, like, tasted like wax within a second.
Yeah, like, you tasted it, and the aftertaste was wax, and you're like, what the hell is this?
Man.
Yeah, it was definitely, I'm pretty sure I can go into the bowels of my
Now,
untapped.
Ken is talking about a beer that we drank over a year ago, and he's trying to figure out, like, how...
It hasn't been over a year.
Pretty.
When did you
I
open?
Think so. April.
Yeah, so it's been less than a year, so fix that. Don't yell at me.
About a year.
It's February.
I was going to say, yeah, it was April, because I remember I had stuff to do that night, and I'm like, shit, I can't get this working, because you're...
Ken had to go drink, and now he's mad.
Yeah, pretty much.
He was mad. He's still holding a grudge.
I had to go drink, so they're allowing me to drink before I could drink, so I could drink before I drink. Something like that. I think Exhibit needs to come in, you know... Give me a pimp my drink. We'll give you a drink within your drink so you can drink
while
you drink.
We know that show is not real. Get out of here.
That show's not real? What are you talking about? How could that not be real?
I have one of his rides, like, in the parking lot right now. Nice.
Don't you remember the Bob episode of Pimp My Ride?
I must have
this little 76 El Camino that now has a PlayStation 3 with two controllers and an aquarium in the back.
Seems legit. Yeah.
Dude, he wanted to work at North Center Brewing.
I heard you like hops. So we put hops in your beer so that you could taste hops while you drink the hops.
It sounds like Devil Dancer now.
So I see this real quick. I saw this article on Huffington Post that apparently the feds did not like Smells Like Weed IPA, which is why they changed it to Smells Like a Safety
the
Meeting.
The feds.
Which apparently... And
thanks,
I did not,
Obama.
I know. I did not know that Smells Like a Safety Meeting is stoner slang for a break taken while on the job to smoke marijuana.
No. We all learned something new today.
The more you know.
Knowledge is a regular occurrence at where I work, so now I know they're going to a safety meeting.
Going to a safety meeting.
Now I got a new phrase.
The funny thing is, I'm the safety committee chairman at my office. I will always think about this now and what Robert just talked about.
I totally
about
have
every
something
every time
new.
I hold a safety meeting moving forward. Son of a bitch.
Put that as a, public service announcement on your
right.
Dear employees of
going
DTE.
To be a safety meeting today.
It's going to be a safety meeting in the boiler room downstairs.
At 4:20.
Oh, that's just cheating. Huh? Bringing out the 4:20 there.
Hey.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after a couple songs. Baby. Podcast segment 3. As always, and by always, I mean right now, we want to bring up one of our other sponsors, 3Nick Scoreboard over in Allen Park.
Oh, yeah. Still love that place.
Ryan, Nick Cole, one of the 3Nicks. Great people down there. 28 drafts, draft handles. They got a bunch of craft beer out there. Definitely a sneaky place in regards to being in Allen Park and looking very dive bar-ish.
Very random spot with the flooded parking lot if it rains.
And, oh, yeah. But they also
great
have...
Great looking wait staff.
Oh, yeah. They did. Yeah.
they also have the Randalls there for when they do their beers where they do infused beers. So it's definitely a great thing in regards to being a sponsor. We appreciate
them.
Are
they doing anything with KBS? Have we talked to him about that? Like he did with the
The BCBS? I don't know yet. I'll have to bring
find
it
out.
Up to
that was
him.
A good. I like the way they did that.
Where
that
they did the where you got to basically buy a ticket for a Bourbon County.
Your Robert missed out on that. He just before you came on board.
Yeah, this was BR before Robert.
Before and Rob.
Yeah, before the and Rob and the promo, yes. So we got another half hour before the show is over. This is pretty much kind of like free where we talk about anything really that we want to talk about. So I'm kind of going to pass this off, see if you guys want to talk about anything. Bob, do you want to bring up anything coming up for North Center Brewing? Any upcoming beers, upcoming promotions? Obviously, Darwin Mamassian is not a beer, Dan. Or Nick.
That was you. No, that was you.
That
was
that
Nick?
That was Nick. Darwin Mamassian is not a beer.
I still won't ever live that down.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah. Oh, you guys thought it was a beer?
Oh, well, Nick thought it was a beer.
I had too much that night.
Nick thought it was a beer? No. Yeah. Well, Darwin would really appreciate that.
Wow. Well, maybe we should have him on. You're like, hey.
Man, hook him up, man.
Now I think I might bring him next week. So.
There you go.
He would love that. No, Darwin.
So, what do you got going on at North Center?
Darwin is still with us. He does some great live music. However, what we also do, we're doing a lot of yoga. You guys should come out and get your zen on.
Namaste.
Yeah, namaste.
I learned that from Lost.
Oh.
I was thinking
the
more
TV show Lost.
From Street Fighter. Oh.
What's that?
I was thinking more Dawson.
From Street
Fighter. Yoga.
So you got yoga. I know you got yoga tomorrow morning.
Well, no, I knew namaste from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Ah.
But yeah, we've got 10 beers on tap. Come down and get them. We've got one nitro. Right now it's a nitro porter. We've got a relatively new ESB, Bobby English.
Stephanie's giving the thumbs up.
Yeah. Here, that's good. Actually,
Bobby English.
It's life-changing.
Life-changing beer. Wow.
She's too busy trying to figure out what beer to drink.
Know, she's got way too many glasses.
I'm confused. Where's the ESB?
She's like... quadruple fisting over there now.
Hey,
Stephanie, if you don't mind, run down some of the beers that you like that are on tap right now.
The ESB for sure.
ESB.
for Bobby English, you know him. He's right here. the Honey Blonde is an easy drinking favorite. TA's IPA is a go-to. The Imperial Red. Any of them.
So we have
also,
both of them.
Why don't you talk about the mead that's coming up?
Yeah, so... So we do it...
I got like a backroom taste.
Right, so... She likes the backroom.
Yeah, I know. We appreciate the backroom tasting of that you brought here.
I was keeping it clean.
Bob.
That Nitro IPA.
Wink, wink.
So, yeah, we do. We have some meads on tap from time to time. They're limited editions. We try and do them maybe once every other month or so. One's coming up. Should be ready by next week. They go real fast, so... because we only make about 10 gallons of it.
And, oh, wow.
You know, you gotta be there in the right spot, right time. Get
it's
it.
Gotta it's gotta go really, quick. It, 10 it gallons. Does. Someone knows it goes on. Yeah, that's going real fast.
Yeah, it goes real fast.
Has the response been pretty positive for you guys over there with the meads?
Yeah, kind of like what you guys were saying before. You know, people waiting in line and things. You know, which we're really not that. We're not part of that. You know, we'd love to make some more, but, you know, from a cash standpoint, it's difficult. It's time consuming. It's very expensive to make, especially from a labor, you know, too. I mean, I've only got one guy that specializes in it, and, you know, he's busy with some other stuff. And, you know, so he kind of does it on his own time, you know, in the back when he can. And, so that's really the only reason why it's a limited edition for us. But
right on.
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to make some more. You know, the other thing is honey. You know, I mean, honey is a huge majority of the ingredients for it, and that's not that easy to get, especially around this time.
Right.
It's a crowd favorite. Everybody loves it. You know, not to be sexist, but, you know, the women, you know, that come in, they really dig
She's
it.
She's frowning, I mean, over there.
The women that don't drink beer are like, oh, this mead's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of the point. We have a lot of women that come in with their husbands, boyfriends, whatever, you know, because they want a beer, and some of the women, you know, sit there and they're like, well, you know, craft beer isn't really my style, but right. Then they'll try, you know, I might talk them into a honey blonde, you know, but a mead gets them almost every time. I mean, because it's not really a beer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Again, like you were saying from the beginning of the show, I mean, it's a honey wine. So it's really just it's a high ABV honey wine, and that's just what it is.
Right.
Well, it's definitely something, you know, when we brought Dominic in from Sellermans, and that's, you know, one of the reasons why Sellermans has the meads, the ciders, and then, of course, they have the Trasher, you know, the Trasher and the Crusher. Yeah, they're two, you know, beers for the blue collar workers, the workers who are coming in looking for that Pabst Blue. You know, as much as you want to sell craft beer, you still have to market towards the people that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, if you're not going to carry Bud Light, you need to be like, well, if you like Bud Light, then here is an option for you. You know, and one thing that I do appreciate, you know, coming and seeing at North Center Brewing is that, you know, the staff never has talked down in regards to a person looking for a specific beer. They've said, hey, this is what I like. You know, you don't have it because you have your own beer. What can I have?
Right.
And between samples, between different types of beer, you know, gearing the experience towards the customer is definitely something that I've always seen. And I appreciate at a place like North Center in comparison to other places, like, you know, some places that have, you know, I won't call out their name, but have like 130 taps. And, you know, if you come in there asking for something like a Coors Light and they talk down to you and you're like, well, help me here. Don't talk down to me like I'm stupid. Give me a beer that you think I'll like, or give me, you know, a little taste of something.
And, you know, that's the one thing that I think a lot of craft beer brewers and breweries kind of miss is that's their mark. That's the people that they need to bring in because the craft beer fans are going to keep coming. They like your beer. They're going to keep coming. Yeah. The ones that don't know your beer and, you know, need the experience to come back the second time to try different beer.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on some world-class service, which is almost unheard of from a small brewery. Like you were mentioning, you know, getting talked down to and things. We notice that a lot. And, you know, from our business model, we really wanted to buck the trend on that and not have anybody feel talked down to or felt lower just because they didn't understand what craft beer really was. And, and we really, you know, you come in, like I said before, I mean, there's people that we've had customers that have never had a beer before. We've had customers that have never had a micro beer before. We've never had, you know, a craft beer or whatever. And it's like, you know, what do you like to drink? What, you know, we'll get you on there. And then we have gateway beers, and what the gateway beers is, you know, we'll try and get you to the next type of craft beer. You know, you might have not come in and had a, you know, you wouldn't have wanted a porter, but, you know, maybe by the end of the night, you know, you might try one and actually like it. So I wanted to segue that into our Belgian triple. Our Belgian triple, not a lot of breweries do a lot of Belgian triple, the microbreweries like us. And because they're tough to do, and
why are they tough to do? Sorry to interrupt, but I'm curious. That's a great question.
The ingredients and the time and the labor that it takes to create a clean tasting Belgian triple is very difficult because the grains need to be matched so well that if it's just off, just by a little bit, you'll get a very off tasting beer, and it's a waste.
With being so hard though, how does a company like Dragon Mead, who can produce very highly and bottle Final Absolution, how do they do that with such a hard product? Do they?
Yeah, and that's, I mean, hell, that's why they do that. That's, I mean,
that's why they do it. Because
Final Absolution is one of my favorite beers of all time, and because it's such a clean tasting beer that's my taste, and it's you know, I almost take that beer as an inspiration to, you know, create beers at North Center that are based upon that and have that same type of excellence that it'll, you know, the final product will be, you know. And I think our Belgian triple, as far as difficult beers to make, is on par with that.
Well, I think it's definitely interesting because I think the market, I mean, you have, and I don't know if you're familiar with Urban Rest, which is coming out in Ferndale very soon, but they're really focusing on that open yeast fermentation, that those Belgian strong ales. And we had Zach on maybe a month and a half ago, and that's exactly what he was talking about.
I think that was a bad show, not because of him, but because of the difficulties.
Oh yeah, we had difficulties. Difficulties. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. But we started the show, and then like a half hour later, we realized we weren't live. Yeah, so we had to redo the interview and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh god,
we're like 30 minutes in. It was bad.
So definitely
open yeast stuff though is that's, I mean, talk about difficult things to do to get it right. I mean, that's one of the most difficult things that, you know, as a microbrewer to do, and very few microbreweries do that. That's probably the most niche thing that you can probably get into.
But I think, you know, in regards to niche, it's still wanted.
It is,
you know, as much as there's a small portion of the people who want it. The fact, you know, kind of like kombucha, Unity Vibration out in Ypsilanti. You know, it's a very niche market for, you know, kombucha beer, but nonetheless, they really sell their kombucha beer like crazy. So I think definitely it's going to be something good, especially in the Ferndale area because it's still growing. You know, between – well, they have Wab, they have Bee Nectar, they have Schramm's, and now they're going to have Urban Rest. But, you know, they also have so much other competition there between – Embrew, Valentine's, you know, your standard Barge, your Comos, your Danny's, Soho's, Grasshopper.
Soho. I mean,
I'm looking at Dan. Well, the fact of the matter is there's just a lot of competition in Ferndale right now, to where
It's Soho.
Well, Soho is not too much competition. I'm just naming off all the bars that I remember. One Eyed Betty's. There you go. Is that better than Soho?
Yeah.
Wow. A little plug to One Eyed Betty's. I'm planning on hitting there after this.
I love that place.
Well, you know, it's barrel aged week there at One Eyed Betty's.
Oh, so yes, I did see that.
They have like I think 12 or 14 different barrel aged beers. I think they got a 10-50 barrel age that's there, and I don't know if you ever had regular 10-50, but the barrel age is actually a pretty good. I think the only one they've sold out on so far is the Neapolitan from Saugatuck.
Not shocked. That's
and there is another one that I just can't remember the name of it. But yeah, so you'll go in there and there'll be a definitely a bunch of barrel age. I'll actually be there Sunday night hosting Quizzo at 10 o'clock for those listening that are local, because Quizzo's better than Sporkle.
Ooh, oh. Hey.
Hey, Rob, what's going on? Didn't see you there.
Hey. Now, for some of us that host trivia for Sporkle Live, I will be at Herman's Old Town Grill in Plymouth on Monday. Oh. And Ashley's Westland.
Oh, Ashley's. What's the Cascale Fest? I asked you to find that date. Did you get it? Fail.
Hey.
We have quizzing sparring going on.
Right? Yes.
Kind of weird.
Actually, and I'm just throwing in the Cascale Fest. Bob, what do you have on Cask over at North Sentinel?
We don't and probably will never.
Oh, fail. No, not really.
So, as we're talking about beer and having a great conversation, I want to bring up kind of the topics that we've had right now. One of the big things, you know, we talked about basketball not too long ago. You know, what is your guys' opinion in regards to pretty much the entire 2004 team getting their numbers retired?
Who did?
I mean, Rip Hamilton just got his number retired.
No. Rip
2014.
Rip is next year.
2014.
Rip is next year.
Rip is next year.
2004, not 14.
Oh.
You had Big Ben, you had Chauncey, and Rip all getting their numbers retired.
Chauncey. I almost cried during that.
Chauncey was definitely Chauncey was someone who needed to find a team for him. Like the team that was
like
built around Chauncey. Oh yeah,
he
played so many places that he just couldn't. You know, he wasn't a bad player, but he just couldn't figure it out. And then when he became, you know, a Piston, it would just all kind of click together in regards to. You know, we talked about it. We talked about the whole. You know, how I believe that if we drafted anyone that wasn't Darko in 2003,
we talked about it. It would have been different.
We wouldn't have won the 04.
Carmel and Tayshaun play the same position we played.
Or Dwayne
about
Wade. D-Wade.
Well, he would have been a three.
Yeah, he would have been a three.
So yeah, anyone, you would have displaced anyone on that team, and it would have been shit.
Wait, I'm sorry. What was wrong with Darko?
No. The
but theory, if you didn't draft him, you drafted someone that took a spot on that team, on the championship team. Who do you take off the championship team, the starting five?
You're making sound like things were going to go the same way. Like, let's just say. So, what would your pick have been?
Well, it would have been Carmelo or Dwayne.
And that would have. You couldn't take them though.
And how long would he would have stayed?
He would have stayed, but you wouldn't have a championship. I don't think you would have.
I don't think you win that 04 championship without. Those five.
You take Carmelo, you take out Tayshaun, and then you don't have the block against Indiana, and you don't come out of that into the finals.
You also don't
play LA because you've been eliminated by Indiana.
You also don't have Memet Okur and Lindsey Hunter as your good 6-7. Because now they're 7-8, and if they get time, compared to the fact that you have Carmelo and Dwayne
and
Wade.
And then you have, or Dwayne Wade. Does Corliss Williamson come into that then? No, because that was like our real six at that point.
It's definitely an interesting conversation.
It's fun to talk about.
You know, we had it last week, so we can definitely have it offline here as you're thinking in regards to who we could have took and stuff like that. And I don't want to kind of rehash. But we do have coming up, obviously, the Wings are playing, and we're getting much, much closer to the alumni game, the Stadium Series game against Colorado.
They've added some people, I thought, to the alumni roster, I believe.
Have they?
I believe so.
Do you have that information, or can you grab it while we figure out?
Is this rumors, or are you just...
No, I actually did...
You're at the sign Gawker or where?
I forgot where, but I think Stevie Y might be playing.
Oh, Stevie Y's playing. I heard that.
Nice. I heard Darren might be in.
When they announced Stevie Y, they announced Darren McCarty. Yeah. So as Nick's bringing up the rosters, what did you guys think of the Batch 5000?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good.
The spicy taste is kind of good. That's actually my favorite part.
Yeah.
I agree 100% with you. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, you don't taste that. Like even Final Absolution, you have a little alcohol flavor at the end of it, which is why I think I personally prefer Killer Bee over Final Absolution, because it's Final Abso with honey, basically. So you have this where you really don't taste the alcohol, but at $21 a bottle, I don't think anybody's going to be
– Right. No,
I would say, considering the other swill that I have in front of me, that was
the other swill.
What's the other swill?
You have to rewind.
It's probably like Mocha Mint.
Yeah, Mocha Mint. Yeah, Nitro IPA, Hop Slam.
He has like three full beers. Like this one's really full.
Three full beers.
This one is really full.
I may have even mixed them.
Do you want to hand me the Colossal Oversight though, so I can try that?
I guess for me, the
it was really very good though.
Batch 5000 is pretty good. Just taking the first whiff of it, I don't know what it was, but you know, as with you know the blueberry pancake, I had the reminiscing on Big Boy. For some reason, the smell on the Batch 5000. First thing it made me really think of was just a fat guy in a treadmill at Planet Fitness.
Fat guy in a treadmill at Planet Fitness.
From my own experience being a fat guy on a treadmill at Planet Fitness.
Cardio King's hanging out.
I will wholeheartedly concur with the aroma that I just got.
Rob, I actually completely agree with you. The aroma is not great. It's nothing like an aroma of a Hop Slam or anything like that.
No.
Which has one of the best aromas of any IPA that I've
ever had. Well, Hop Slam just is so mellow. Like, I can't wait for when...
However, once you get past that aroma, mm-hmm. I think that body of the Batch 5000 is outstanding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a good beer. And I'm not a triple fan, and this is a good beer.
This is a good beer.
Yeah, I already finished mine. Sorry.
I'm pretty sure... we did drink the whole...
Well, there is six of us here, so it's not too hard to cash out.
We managed
22.
To pass around the 12, so...
Wait, what is this barley wine?
This is the Colossal Oversight from Odd Side. My wife actually just bought it for me for Valentine's Day.
Aww.
She bought it.
And we're drinking it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, she wanted me to... She was like, you know, what can I get for him to bring to the podcast? That was literally her thoughts. So she brought me that. She brought me a couple other browns and then one that's going to probably stay in my cellar for my – by cellar, I mean box I keep over my
the box I look
pedal.
For.
The same box that Dan will be looking for when we go to watch WrestleMania.
Oh, no. Are we having a what's the fast lane?
There we will have fast.
I'll be looking for it in like a week and a half.
All right, so I got the Red Wings roster for the alumni game.
All right, let's
as of a couple days ago.
So this is pretty much going to be it. Like I doubt there's going to have too many.
Yeah, I don't
updates.
Think there will be any other additional people. But you have starting with forwards. You have Doug Brown, Dino Cicerelli, Chris Draper, Thomas Holmstrom, Mike Knubel, Joey Coble.
Mike, how do you get it? Wait a minute.
Where'd they find him?
I don't know. Joey Kosher, Martin LaPointe, Igor Larionov, Kirk Moltke, Darren McCarty, and Stevie Y.
So which of these things are not like the other?
So Knubel was part of the back-to-back years in regards to playing for the Wings.
So he has himself two Stanley Cup rings.
He has, but fair. he was also during the time
Darko
of the Wings.
Darko has a ring too. So hold on, we'll go back to Darko.
So does Frazier, Michigan's own Jim Sorgi having a Super Bowl ring.
Like Charlie Batch has a Super Bowl ring.
He has a couple Super Bowl rings.
Okay, well, Charlie Batch deserves his. Yeah, he carried them in those playoffs that one year.
Steelers would not have made the playoffs without the wins at Charlie Batch.
So, moving on.
Night and day.
Moving on to defensemen for the Wings, you have Chris Chelios, Mathieu Dandonneau, Steve Dussain, Yuri Fisher, Nicholas Lidstrom, and Larry Murphy.
And again, I say, which of these does not... Like the other.
Larry Murphy? I think.
No, not Larry Murphy.
No, the whole roster. Wow.
I think they definitely tried to get a lot of, you know, 90s wings in regards to.
And then
as opposed to the Wings Toronto that they had 2 years ago. Where,
and then, because Dana, and I were at the.
We froze our asses off.
Yeah, that was a fun time, though. Don't get me wrong. We froze our asses off, but that was an awesome.
Yeah, I think that this is definitely going to be one of those where they're trying to get as many people from the 96, 97, 98.
Right.
era.
90s, yes.
And I mean, even up
time. That was a breakout time.
Yeah, even up until like 2001, you know, in regards to the rivalry with Colorado, you're definitely going to try to get as many people as you can from that era.
Yeah, you're getting both those, you know, both teams at, during that time period.
Yeah.
Goaltender-wise, Ty Conklin and Manny Legacy.
Ty Conklin.
Hold on. Legacy, though.
Wait, yeah, where did we
pull these from?
Oh, no.
Especially Ty Conklin.
No Osgood, Vernon, or even Hasek.
Right.
You have Ty Conklin and Manny Legacy.
You're right, exactly. I mean, just make a stretch and go for Cujo. Yeah. Conversely,
I'll just name a few of the people on the Avalanche.
Well, I know
roster.
Waz playing for Colorado, which makes everything.
Yeah.
Punch worthy.
Yeah, Peter Forsberg. Peter Forsberg, Milan Hayduk, Claude Lemieux, Mike Ritchie, Joe Sakic, Ray Bourque, Adam Foote. Ray Bourque was only on the team for
like 2 years.
This is Colorado.
Yeah, but Bourque was on during the time.
Yeah, 2000, 2001.
Oh, good Lord.
Sandis Olsson-ish. That was another big one. And then you obviously have Patrick Waugh.
Like, I think Mike Ricci is San Jose.
I go with the Don Cherry reference. Oh, to me, he's always
we haven't heard that all night. Now we get it twice.
Oh,
and beer falling everywhere.
Right. It only took until the 19th episode.
That's Bob. It only took to like the last minute of the show.
That's okay.
Somebody start singing. My Heart Will Go On.
So as I'm reading right now, Chris Osgood cannot play in the game due to a surgery he recently had.
Oh wow!
So that is a reason. So as we continue, we got about 5 minutes left of the show.
Hey,
I'm going to see what Mike Vernon's doing right now.
All right, so can we, while you're doing that, can we get away from that and switch to MMA for a minute? There's a lot of stuff going on there.
I actually want to talk. Yeah, go
ahead.
Tell me
Rashad Evans is going to be fighting Shogun Rua in April. We got Ronda Rousey's actually returned back to training.
I did see that.
So she's getting ready for a potential rematch, possibly, depending on the outcome of the Miesha Tate-Holly Holm fight.
Was I talking to you guys about this?
You might have.
It stacks into a complete conspiracy when Miesha Tate wins this belt?
Yes.
Yes.
You mentioned this, yes.
I wasn't sure if it was you guys on this show or not.
The UFC did lose one of its top former champions. Benson Henderson's going to Bellator.
Oh, wow, that's huge. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
wow.
Just recent, within like the last month, he signed with Scott Coker and the guys over at Bellator.
Bellator is good. I like their setup over there.
Daniel Cormier will be defending his light heavyweight title against former champion John Jones at UFC.
Yeah, that's a big one. This is Jones' return.
It'll be his first fight since his hit and run incident back from UFC 182.
So he gets a title fight? In his first fight coming
up? He never lost.
He's
undefeated.
His title, so technically he deserves a rematch.
Hey, go. Ken?
BJ Penn in the news.
Ooh.
He might be coming back after 18 months retirement.
How old
unquote.
Is he now?
Late 30s.
See, that's not too bad.
And then I think lastly, I didn't put this there. This is not MMA, but it's wrestling related.
I think I put that there.
Did you put this there?
The
viewership numbers dropped? Explain that one.
To what, MMA?
No, WWE Network. The numbers dropped.
Apparently the numbers dropped. They in the fourth quarter, they were around like 1.23 million, and now they've slipped just slightly to 1.22 million.
Now, these are self-reported numbers.
Well, apparently
that's actually a good point.
It's been enough to basically make investors just want to run. And their stock price dropped by about 10% for WWE, and they're basically looking at it and saying, you know, we consider everything like viewership and user counts. We want to look at things like Netflix.
Yeah.
And when they see these numbers start dipping, the investors just started running.
Does Netflix release their numbers?
I've never seen numbers.
I don't believe so.
So
I think a lot of Netflix numbers are speculation in regards to
that. But when you have a show like Fuller House coming out, you know
you've got Daredevil.
You got
House of Cards.
You got Gold
and Fuller House coming
Fuller
in.
Fuller House
in a matter of weeks.
Orange of the New is New Black.
I mean,
is awesome.
I think Netflix is probably releasing something like 20 movies this year.
So let's bring up the thing you didn't bring out in MMA. What do we do when Conor McGregor wins the title in a second weight division? What happens at that point?
Well, can you recall a time in the UFC?
Oh, he's going to have to fight double duty.
He's going to have to.
Dana's
going to make him. You have to. If you're going to hold two belts, you're going to have to.
This isn't boxing. You have to fight a lot more in MMA than you do in boxing. I don't know if you can go back and forth like that.
Well, Connor's, he's at that point. He's at that weight where he can easily do each weight class. He doesn't have to cut a lot of weight. At least I don't think he has to cut a lot of weight.
I think it's cutting and putting on weight. A lot of work to do that. I feel like he'd have to vacate.
This isn't boxing. But you don't have 6 months between bouts.
No, you have like a couple months at most.
That's why I'm wondering what they're going to do.
I think Connor's going to kick the crap out of Dos Anjos. It's going to be a good fight, but
Dos Anjos, you're right. He's a good fighter.
It's going to be a good fight, but I think Connor McGregor's going to edge.
I don't think it's going to be easy as his last fight, but I don't.
I was going to say first round.
13 seconds or 12 seconds.
Are we at least? Are we saying first round?
I'm going to go second round.
Second round.
Sounds good.
We still got a lot of time between now and the McGregor.
We didn't discuss the big MMA news.
What's that?
CM Punk.
Oh, yes, CM Punk.
That's not big MMA
delay.
News.
Is this about beer?
No.
I'm really confused.
The last 15, 20 minutes is usually non-beer related.
Okay, I'm zoning out. That's cool.
Well, we appreciate your honesty.
Twitter hops. I don't know.
Is this where we turn off your microphone after you didn't want to be on in the first place?
Yeah, wait a minute.
I want to be on.
She chimes in to ask about what's going on. What are you guys
MMA.
Doing right now?
Does that equal beer?
Yeah. Does that equal beer?
So I guess he has some kind of malt alcohol.
I don't know.
I don't know if alcohol. It was back surgery or leg surgery?
Back surgery.
Oh, we're back. Okay.
It's all good. It's definitely an interesting concept because, you know, we'll probably discuss it a little bit more next week because he had his fight scheduled with Mickey Gall and definitely got canceled now because he has to have back surgery, which is funny because his first postponement was because he had shoulder surgery, I think, recently. But with that in mind, you know, we are wrapping up. Bob, Stephanie, I appreciate you guys coming on out. Thank you.
You got a spatter of applause from Nick.
She wants to be
totally firebombed.
Stephanie wants to keep going. She wants to keep talking.
I have way more things to say.
Wait, what is this?
Well, I guess you're going to have to.
MMA.
Who's Dos Anjos? Was that a beer?
Don't worry. I'm barely a month in. I'm still, you know, just like, oh, wait, no, they're going to MMA. Okay.
You're going to have to come back.
Dude,
but again, for myself as well as everyone here, no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Peace out.